listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 11th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter. Oh no, I think we're on mute. Dr. Hunter, are you with us? Oh, look. Up. Oh. We got life. I can see it on the doohickey in front of my screen here. I know I'm using technical terms now, but all right. I think we have you with us. So, hello, Dr. Hunter.
I'm here.
All right.
Oh, I don't know why I could wait. I did not have my mute button on.
Oh, likely story.
I don't know what happened. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. But
okay.
As always, welcome to those joining us live, and that is the best part of a live broadcast, you get those little live things going in. And especially thank you to those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, and great way to get into tonight's topic of human ingenuity and imagination.
Well, you know, Michael, seeing as we had this little techno, I had a technical glitch in the beginning. I had this flashback of when television and radio first started, everything was live. You know, they'd have people in the background doing sound effects for storytelling and the news, and actually had orchestras in the background playing music. It was all a live show. And, I mean, those very small margins allowed for error, but and how they pulled that off and how, again, human ingenuity, you know, they learned how to use film and tape these programs. And, you know, well, look where we are, even in, you know, 60, 70 years, how far that's come. And, again, due to the human imagination and we still have technical glitches.
Well, it's because things just happen in a chaotic universe. I mean, we're always going to be that way. There's no such thing as perfection. And, you know, it's living in that chaotic universe that kind of leads us to an imagination, because we are linear corporeal beings, that we experience things in a certain way, and we do not know necessarily what's coming down the road. And we don't, and there's so much unknown. And it's almost necessitates an imagination to kind of conceive of possible things, right? And I've always liked to have fun with the idea about, you know, what purpose does literature and fiction, what does that bring to the human species? And and if you were to look at it in, say, an evolutionary way, what practical application does it have for the species in a, you know, life and death kind of way? Now, I would argue that fiction, that literature, that, you know, kind of expanding the imagination, creating stories, creating fictionalized worlds, it helps the mind deal with more complex thoughts. It helps the human mind deal with ethical questions, you know, that you can be presented with that will help shape society, that will help shape how healthy a society functions.
Well, how fiction is fiction. I mean, what we thought of as fictional years ago, you know, is kind of real now, or even science fiction.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's a great point.
And then really when we're talking fiction, it's just an altered scenario. You know, it's these alternate scenarios of life or what other people could be living or what other people have, if you're talking biographical. But even then, just even whether it's a romance novel, you know, that takes you off in Neverland, or great stories or characters that, hey, you know, and it's all probably happening in somebody's reality.
Yeah, the wide open multiverse.
So I wonder how much of our imagination is a connection to the this universal archives. You know, we're talking the big great Akashic records, if you want to look at it that way, or something else, where how tapped in are we, and we're just randomly getting downloaded at times. I've wondered that many times, that, you know, simultaneously people on the planet can have the same idea and yet think that that's, you know, an imagination or an abstract thought, or, you know, an invention. And how does that happen? You know, I'm sure the odds are with you that they'd be pretty close, or could be. But really, I think that we're living in this really complex universe where it's all connected. So I mean, we can say we can give ourselves credit for having an idea, or say that, you know, hey, I've got this brilliant story I'm writing, but how much of it do I own myself? Am I not just a conduit? You know, are we all not just conduits for everything that's flying around the universe?
Well, you could also say that in, what, a couple hundred thousand years of just recent human history, we've been around for a while. We have about 6,000-ish years of recorded history, in a way.
Mm.
And but the truth is, you know, any story has probably been told in one way or another. Most thoughts have already been thought. And, you know, I will say that great minds can think alike, and people can come to ideas and thoughts independently. But, you know, we're all kind of borrowing ideas that exist in the objective world around us. We're all borrowing from these abstract notions and thoughts, and, you know, learning from the previous generations and shaping, hopefully, you know, learning from the past and shaping the future. Go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was just going to, you know, I had this thought about what about Da Vinci, or, you know, Plato, or others who seemingly had in a time that was not industrial, so to speak, mm-hmm. had these extraordinary ideas out of, like, did they travel to the future? Did they have futuristic, you know, kinds of premonitions or a dream state? Because those have become our realities now. We think, yeah, but how did he think about that way back when? So this is what I mean by about time, space, imagination. Oh.
Well,
and
pushing the envelope. I mean, Da Vinci, I just recently listened to a podcast devoted to the life of Da Vinci on an episode, and they kind of went into some of his more interesting inventions. He actually developed a medieval knight as a fully functioning automaton, meaning, you know, it was programmed by gears and mechanics to move in certain ways, and when you powered it, it would move. He also created a lion in the same manner, and they were both said to be extraordinary. But, you know, in a lot of ways, necessity will push innovation, but in cases like this, I think that just throughout human history, you see this pop up now and again where, just like you had mentioned, I mean, you could look at recent examples such as Nikola Tesla, to a lesser extent, Edison, and of course the many people that came together for putting together the automobile, of course, the airplane, all these momentous things that had always been kind of, human beings have always wanted to fly. We've always had myths about it. It's always been a fascination, and we've always been kind of building towards it. But we play on each other's imaginations. When somebody has an idea, a thought that comes into their imagination, they tell it as a story or as a example, as a myth, and that spurs somebody else's imagination, which drives an invention and ingenuity, and it drives, and those inventions, that technology also begins to shape our society. It's this perpetual motion of, human development. And I'm very happy that we're kind of coming into a more, it's taken a while, but I think we're hopefully getting there to a more egalitarian society, especially when it comes to feminism, because that is just another, if you're actually acknowledging the ideas of half or really more than half of the population, you're going to have that many more people that, how many women in Da Vinci's age could have exhibited that talent if given the opportunity? How much lost potential and how much lost imagination and creativity, has the human race seen? And hopefully we can move beyond that and, to capitalize on ingenuity, to capitalize on imagination, to help it make our species better.
Well, I think, you're onto something there for sure, Michael, because, we're not going to talk feminism, but, because I could go on about that one. But, there are these segments of the population that seem to be the more vulnerable or lesser than or not acknowledged, that whole population where predominantly it has been male dominated. So the so-called ingenuity that we run into is the front runner is a man, even though a woman could have given him the idea behind the scenes, which has happened historically many times. Yep. And so we tend to think more in that male kind of way or give the credit there. But I think what we're also saying here is that all of us, no matter who and where we are and what, position we might be in, we're capable of pretty amazing things. The question then, of course, would be go into manifestation. How do we manifest that? Because we can have a lot of imagination and be really ingenious, but then the next step with how would you then take steps or be able to find skills or, have access to the tools that you need to manifest that. And I think that's ultimately everybody's, final question is, we are untapped. And I think everybody, who's listening in the chat and listens to the program can, we'll all agree to that. We're capable of some pretty extraordinary things. And just what we've discussed is evidence enough of that. But then where do we go from here? Where we are is we've got artificial intelligence happening. We've got, technology that's going into quantum computers and, the list is long. But where do we fit in all of that? So I think that's ultimately the individual's quest is how do we manifest our own imaginings and our own ideas and live within the parameters of that? Because everybody has a place. Everything has a place because that's how the mechanisms work. So Wendy just said she has too much imagination. And I do too, Wendy. I mean, I can sit in my head for a long time by myself.
Oh, my God.
But these are the challenges, and this is one of the things I have tried to discipline myself about is to do something every day that's productive, and I see it outside myself, even if it's a written page or editing, a little bit of artwork, so that I have something to show for besides just living in my head. And because I think I have really brilliant moments, I have some pretty stupid moments too, but yeah, Edward's saying he's pretty good at that too. So we can agree that, you know, we are capable of a lot of thought and imagining. So I'm going to fill in a blank here. Part of it, I think, is an emotional maturity to be able to have enough sensibility for how we then, it's like creating a painting, but then how do you sell it? You know, it's so we have to either find someone who is that other part of ourselves who can fill in the blanks to go sell it, or we have to learn those skills and find those mechanisms, tools that we can go, the painting will sell. Because, I mean, a lot of, especially if you're an artist of any kind, you can just sit in your head all the time. I wonder how many drawings sat in a drawer of Da Vinci's that no one ever saw. I guess that's my point too, is it's, you know, okay, but now what? So could he have created that at that point? Hard to know.
There's so many avenues, and think about how many human beings have imagined wondrous, beautiful things, but lacked the talent to convey it with accuracy. Mm-hmm. You say, you know, how many paintings were painted by Da Vinci? Excuse me, you know, Leonardo.
Yep.
How many people with brilliant visions were unable to communicate them to other humans? I would also say, you know, you touched on a couple of things. I loved the fact that you brought artificial intelligence up, because it just clicked something in my mind that I want to touch on in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned before fiction becoming reality. I had mentioned earlier that, you know, fiction and literature can be a way to expand human society, human thought, what is possible, and teach lessons. Science fiction kind of prepares us for the next wave of what is coming. You know, we didn't have stories about, you know, alien life that, you know, well, it wasn't a god, but alien life until we realized that the possibility could exist that there might be. So we prepare ourselves, even in menial ways, and it might take millennia until it actually occurs, but we prepare ourselves for an eventual reality so that it's not mind-shattering when it comes. Another brilliant thing is, let's talk about artificial intelligence, and if you have true artificial intelligence, self-aware artificial intelligence, does that AI have imagination?
Ah, good question. Not so far that I have noted. I've done a little bit of investigating in this, and, you know, so far that's the human element that's missing, or that the soul, if you will. But they can spontaneously answer questions, the robots.
Oh, sure.
And that kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Well, yeah, but that's just algorithms. You know, that's just virtual intelligence might be even a better way to say it. Because I'm talking, we haven't, I hope, honestly, I do. I hope we have not seen true artificial intelligence. I honestly hope we never see artificial intelligence on a true scale, in the sense of actually self-aware, sentient or sentient, whatever you prefer, thought, because it will have an enormous ethical implications. I mean, what about the voting rights of artificial intelligence? The rights of self-determination of any self-aware creature, you know? There's so many things that come into play. And if you have artificial intelligence that is self-aware, and let's just, for a thought experiment, say that it can have imagination, well, then what does that mean? Where does that imagination derive from? Is imagination derived from the ability to think in the abstract, to think and form ideas that are not related to the present physical here and now? And is that range of abstract thought, is it limited to humanity? Or can we, you know, let's talk about the imaginations of other creatures.
Well, the questions you're asking was really radical science fiction 50 years ago, but they're really important present day ethical, moral questions that we're looking at. So, it's, you know, these are things that have become the reality, the manifestations of imagination that somehow we become, whoa, wait a minute, you know, let's stop and think about this. So I think that there are, I wonder just how much of our imagination is not kind of tempered with an ethics or some kind of maturity, you know, the long-term thinking, which I think, generally speaking, is where women are, you know, naturally longer-term thinkers, you know, longer consequence opposed to, and I, again, I'm not meaning to sound prejudiced in this, but it's men are more immediate in the immediate response, you know, rather than, and I think that part of our issue in the last number of years is that we are looking for that immediate reward, that immediate fix. And we do have to start looking at long-term effects of our behavior that began as imagination. So that those are just some thoughts. And I know it's like, I know I sound sexist in there, and listen, I don't mean to.
As a man, I don't find that immediately satisfying at all, and therefore I have to disregard it, so you have no point. I kid, of course.
I heard that.
Isn't that kind of like the notion in science of just because you can do something doesn't necessarily mean you should do something?
I agree. I totally agree with that. That's where some things in my imagination should just stay there.
Some things in everybody's imagination just really need to stay there.
Or just fly away, you know, just go away. I think that where we're going from here is, I think we're at a critical stage, really, about where our imaginations will go. I am always refreshed when I hear just good human interest stories, what real life is for certain people. Yeah. And I know we all look for the happy endings, but that we all face different challenges in life, no matter, you know, who. I love to know that there were the famous artists, whether it's Van Gogh or others, that they hardly sold a painting, but they lived their art. They lived their imagination. Of course, a lot of people are rich after they're dead, you know. It's kind of crazy. But it's the human interest stories that, like J.K. Rowling with, Harry Potter books, she was turned down by 25 publishers. You know, The Celestine Prophecy, he was the same. You know, dozens of publishers turned him down. And then two, when he was finally selling his books, two of the ones that rejected him started competing for, like, I love those stories that these are people who had the determination, you know, and that wherewithal and really determined to manifest. That's, to me, no matter where we go in the world of technology, I love it that there are still these really wonderful undercurrent human elements, you know, of who we are. You know, we are imaginative. Oh, and, you know, Darren just said George Lucas was also turned down several times for Star Wars. You know, these are really important things about how we have that. He says, I bet they regret that now. I'll bet all those publishers for J.K. Rowling do too. But it's really a testament to the human condition, our determination, our perseverance. And when you believe in something, I mean, even then, J.K. Rowling still had to feed herself. She was a single mom. You know, you still have to carry on. I'm sure George Lucas had the same, how do I pay my mortgage or rent issue, you know, investing his whole life in Star Wars. And so there is this element of sacrifice and determination that comes with abstract thought and imagination.
You know, it's funny, isn't it, when an idea grabs you and it just takes on a life of its own, and you need to bring it to life. You need to communicate it. You know, it's part of being the human animal. We need to communicate it to other humans, so it's not just with us. So it outlives us, and it is entered into a much greater whole, the sum of human thought and imagination and culture. And I guess one question that comes to mind is there a limit to imagination?
Well, for where we were 100 years ago to now, I'd have to say probably not. We're traveling in space. We're going to Mars. I wish that we could, give attention to some more basic things on the planet, like food and water. And, there's a lot of things here that we need to deal with. But I think, the reality in that is that corporations and money largely dictate that, but the power is with the people and in their imagination for how life could be if, but you have to be kind of awake in order to know what your part can be. And that's why I said earlier, we all have a part to play. The only reason an item sells as much as it does is because we buy it. If you stop buying it, then, it has less power. And so we decide what we purchase. We decide what we invest in. We decide what kind of lives we're going to live. Yeah. We all like convenience. We all like things to be nice. I've said many times, I love flushing toilets, but at the same
time. Randomly or?
No, I think, the running water, hello.
Yeah.
Because these are things that we did not have. And honestly, 100 years is a blink of time. Oh, light bulbs, 100 years ago. So how far we've come and how far we can go, I think it's limitless. We'll be hovering through space, each of us, before we know it. This is Star Trek.
Yeah.
It really is. And Star Trek was thought to be some radical sci-fi.
What's funny is that in a lot of ways, with certain things like devices, computer technology in some ways, we have more advanced technology now than they did in the original Star Trek or even in some of the spin-offs, Next Generation, which, hallowed be thy name. But I will say that it's about inspiration, the thought of exploring knowledge. And, it's very true that we do need to focus on problems that we do have here on this world and problems that we face as a species together, because we are all in this together. Nobody is alone in this. We are all interdependent on one another. We can be individually self-reliant in many, many ways, but we are part of the larger whole of humanity. And it will be our imaginations which will lead to ideas, which will lead to solutions.
I agree.
And, we have found practical, applicable things, through NASA, through the science to get us to certain places has really paid dividends when it has come to some things in terms of, feeding larger populations, trying to determine, finding resources, trying to determine how biology works, having a deeper understanding of all of these things. And it's, it's a...
Well, what about this
adventure.
Young fellow who, I think he was still in his teens when he came up with an idea how to clean up the ocean, and he's actually got the mechanisms now in the machine. He's cleaning parts of the ocean. And I mean, that's brilliant. And of course he'd have to then be able to sell it to the right people. But having those connections, get a little attention, people come to you, wow, this really works. That's a huge amount of ingenuity, as I see it.
Yeah, and let's talk about the community aspect that can be part of that, because, it can be profitable in a way that you almost market it as people helping one another. Champion a cause. You know, it's like these non-governmental organizations, NGOs, that are contributing towards trying to build a better world, a cleaner world, and individuals like this young fellow are contributing to that. Why? I know that just saying, the next generation is going to be able to fix things, because I'm old enough to remember when I was the next generation that's going to fix things. And, well, here we are.
Here
So
we are.
I know that it's only been, what, 10 years since they were saying that about millennials, and millennials is still a young generation, I get it. But it's not enough to simply wait for, you know, young people to fix things in terms of climate change and the problems they're going to face our species. We all have to be an active participant in
yeah.
the things that we need to do to make the world that we need it to be, a world of, well, as close as you can get with the human species, a world of peace and harmony, of heightened awareness, of enlightened thought. We can build this world. We can do it if we can get enough people to acknowledge the basic principles. And honestly, we've come a long way. Look at 100 years ago in terms of tolerance in any
yeah.
country, almost universally, it's come a long way. And we have a long way to go, but we are on the path if we can stick to it, if we can continue to raise awareness, if we can influence the world and community around us in a healthy way, it will build the world that we deserve to live in.
Well, I'm totally with you, Michael. We have everything we need to live in the world we want. And the world that we desire. Every human being wants the same thing. And I don't care if you've got no money or a lot of money. Every human being wants to feel love and at peace. And that doesn't mean we want it easy. Because really, if we don't live with our head in the sand, we know that there's always going to be challenges. So, you know, what kind of challenge is relative to your life and your ride in life and you know, basically your reality. But we all want peace and peace, I think, in our hearts and to make peace with ourselves and peace with life. And that's very difficult to do when you're living in a very stressful world and paycheck to paycheck, you know. But we can create a different world. I absolutely believe that. And I mean, even at my age, I tend to be a bit of an idealist. I'm an optimistic cynic at the best of times. But as Wendy just said, internal peace, absolutely. And that comes from our spirit, comes from our soul, which I believe, honestly, I think that's where a lot of imagination comes from, myself. But how we filter that comes through your own unique mind. So 20 people can do 20 paintings. Yours is still going to be unique. Even if 20 people do a tree, it's your tree because it's a unique expression. And that's why every human being has something to contribute. I really believe that. It's what is your art? What is your creativity? What are your thoughts? What are your views? You know, what do you manifest in your life? How do you connect with your family, your community? And I know in an age of technology, we feel a little disconnected, but we have everything we need to get reconnected. You know, it's like actually having conversations with each other, phoning somebody up instead of texting. You know, we just need that. I think the disciplines and prioritizing what we do want to manifest and what's more important and living by your philosophy. I think that's key to manifesting everything that we imagine.
Don't be afraid to live your own truth.
That's my speech for the night.
Oh, come on, we have so much more time to fill. We don't have any more speeches? Well, you know what that means. I already had my going out line earlier. So,
well, I love this topic because I like that kind of existential discussion now and again of, you know, where are we and where are we going? Where did we come from? And I think that's important. Our past is important. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, never mind about the past. We live in today. And I'm thinking, well, the past brought us to this moment. What were our errors? What were our, you know, successes? Have we created what we intended? Take an inventory of where we've come from. That is, and now we're in the present. And what's our direction for movement? And every moment is a present moment, and we're awake to that, but to keep moving forward. And where is our forward? Mm-hmm. You know, what does that look like? And a lot of things can get in the way. Look, we're not trying to whitewash this to say it's all fun and roses, but it's still, if we don't have these discussions to remind us who we are, then we lose our way, you know? And this is good to come back to it and say, we are capable of a lot of things. It's awesome.
Yeah. And there's a responsibility that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
We are capable of a great many things. And we are capable of a great many wondrous, beautiful things and a great many horrible, terrible things. It's a choice that we make every day.
It is. We need to
Each generation needs to make their own decision to do the right thing, to make the right choice, to do no harm, and to do right.
Boy, no truer words could be spoken.
All right, now that's the best exit line for the
So we're going to start picking some cards now. I know Edward had put his name up. Anybody else, please? Now is the time. Absolutely. And I guess we're going to do the tarot support cards, are we?
Oh, personally, I've been loving it. I find it fascinating. So I say it's
go
becoming
for it.
A tradition.
All right.
For your show. All right.
Anybody else, please put your name in the chat. Dr. Edward, you are up. What have you got for Dr. Edward, Michael?
All right, Dr. Edward, I have wild card number 6, entropy.
Ah. You know, the whole thing of entropy, it took me a long time to really understand what entropy was, because it's a reverse to the higher lower numbers, right? So the lower the entropy, blah, blah. So anyway, read the card and then we'll talk about that.
Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, which is low entropy. They can wane to uselessness, and that is higher entropy. The energy stands still and their entropy, their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment and rebirth. Adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place.
Well, Edward, in support of that, it's interesting. I brought up the Knight of Hearts, Knight of Cups in tarot language. As the Jack of Hearts, it's the youthfulness of your heart, the youthfulness of, and I don't want to get really hokey about this to say love, but it is truly living from that place of your philosophy and touching base with your philosophy and living what you know to be true. And I think you know that already. This is just that moment of reminder that, and perhaps even just an acknowledgement that you are in the process of that, lowering your entropy, you know, to be more active in matters of the heart and what you invest in your heart. So that's what I see there. Hope that makes sense to you.
All right.
And, Wendy, sorry.
I was just going to say, and Wendy is up next.
Yeah, Wendy's next.
All right. And for Wendy, I pulled number 10, the indomitable power of the human spirit.
Power spirit.
The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
Well, Wendy, interesting that I got the Three of Diamonds, Three of Pentacles. My old teacher, Magda, would call the Three of Diamonds the church card. We've since changed that language to say it's the place of prayer or the place of coming together, the unity of your philosophy, what you believe in. And I think with the power of spirit, it's your anchoring into what you believe in, and you're doing that. And you're, you know, manifesting yourself from that place of spirit. So I needed to throw that in about how, you know, over the years, our language has changed. You know, when Magda would say that's the church card, a place of prayer, you know, we now say, okay, it's a place of prayer, but it's also a place of philosophy and what anchors you and what you believe. And perhaps even the traditions that you use, you know, that help you reinforce that energy within yourself. So I think that you're doing that. My sense about this, Wendy, is that I get this sense of a newfound sense of self. And I think you're on a roll. I do. That's my feeling about it. And the task in life always is to be able to sustain it, especially when you're challenged by others who may not agree. You know, I want to just throw in something that might be helpful to people. It just came to me. I always go with whatever comes to my mind. I started a couple of afternoons a week. I go down to this wonderful little art store, artist store, to do readings for people. And the owner had been challenged by a couple of people for having, one of those psychic readers there. And she looked at me and said, "Does that bother you?" I said, "Oh, Christians don't bother me at all." Well, I mean, she really cracked up because she hadn't seen that. It's like that worldview, that axiom to change it around. It's rather than worried about me bothering them, they don't bother me. and so it's that view. You know, you got to sit back and look at it from another side that, nah, we're good. So Wendy just wrote both cards fit together for tonight and what she's doing right now with these cards. Nomi, good. Sustaining energy is always a challenge, but it always finds a way back. You're absolutely right, Wendy. It's like no matter whatever happened in my life, you know, with regards to people, I could always trust the voice in my head and those spirits that live out there that I speak with. It's already decided a long time ago who I am and what side I walk on. So I can always trust that higher voice, that higher consciousness, my subconscious, you know, that other place. I call it spirits that live in my head, but, you know, psychologists might have fun with that. That's okay.
See, just about to say, I can't trust the voices in my head. They're all up yet.
Well, I don't know. They always made more sense than people to me, you know.
Well, that's a low bar. Come on now.
But, well, that's the fun of being human, isn't it? Just, you never know. And it's okay to not know.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad you said that. Because, well, Audra is up next for a card. And I had I'd already pulled one for Audra.
Good.
And it is the second wild card of the evening. Wild card number 4, Unknowable.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, it fits so well. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted, and that's okay. Focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Changing your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and indications of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, what's really exciting for Audra is I picked out the Empress. And that's in the major arcana, right? So the two parts of the tarot, for those who are a little unfamiliar, and the 22 are the major arcana, the other minor arcana, for another discussion, but just to explain. The Empress, metaphorically, is where ideas live. You know, in our whole discussion tonight, it's great. But in the unknowable to the Empress is where fertility, think about the seeds of life, the seeds of ideas. And when you're in that, very often we're in this very vacant place and we say, I don't know what's going on. And if you just like surrender to that for a moment, ideas just start coming. So you start to grow a new part of yourself. You start to grow into a new pathway, if you will. So you're at, I would say, in some ways, Audra, you're stepping into unknown territory. But the ideas will come to you. The framework will come to you about how to walk it. And that confidence of yourself and knowing that you have this is profound to be able to do it. So I'm excited for you. I am. I think that that's a really good symbology coming up. All right. Do you see anybody else in the chat for us?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Okay. Unless I just missed something, in which case, as we continue to ramble on for another little moment, if you throw your name in, we'll make sure we grab it before we wrap up here. But now this has been, this has been a very fun discussion, and it's been insightful. I think, I think that if you challenge me, I can turn any topic into an existential crisis topic, but it's fun to talk about existential things, isn't it? It's fun to talk about those kind of deep, issues.
Well, Wendy just added something in the chat I have to share. She says, I just wanted to share that the other night I had trouble sleeping and even meditating wasn't working. I then decided to listen to this program in the archives and I felt comforted and was able to sleep. Well, I am really happy about that, Wendy, but can Michael and I really put people to sleep? That's the question.
Well, see, I'm choosing to be optimistic. We have soothing voices, Dr. Hunter.
There you go.
Relaxing.
There you go.
But it's always enjoyable. I always, always enjoy, exploring these topics with you, Dr. Hunter, exploring these topics with everybody that joins us live, these engaging discussions. Throw your ideas out there. We're engaging these things. We're curious. We want to explore ideas. And, as always, I thank everybody for joining us for the live podcast.
Again, it's been it's great to be back. Thanks everybody for your words at the beginning of the program for my vacation. It was wonderful. And now we're back in our routine and we'll see you next week.
We're going to have a great topic. So please join us next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night.